Your conference is being recorded.
Good evening to our call participants in Asia, and good morning to our call participants in the U.S. This is the conference call for the second quarter results of Del Monte Pacific Group, or DMPL, for FY 2018. Representing Del Monte in this call are Cito Alejandro, Chief Operating Officer of DMPL, Parag Sachdeva, CFO of DMPL, Greg Longstreet, CEO of Del Monte Foods, or DMFI, Dave Myers, Chief Operating Officer of DMFI, Gene Allen, CFO of DMFI, and this is Iggy Sison, Chief Corporate Officer of DMPL. Before we start the call, may we request everyone to please mute his phone. Parag Sachdeva, our CFO, will now present our second quarter results.
Thank you, Iggy. Good evening, everyone in Asia, and morning to everyone in the U.S. I would be starting from slide 5, second quarter highlight. As part of the group's strategy to improve operational excellence, it divested its underperforming Sager Creek vegetable business and rationalized two plants in the U.S., incurring $23.6 million one-off expense. As planned, the group also made strategic investments in trade spending and marketing to strengthen its core business in the U.S., which is reflected in higher volume achieved and market share growth in 3 out of 4 key product categories. Nice Fruit frozen pineapple plant is now in operation, with trial shipments to the U.S., Japan, and South Korea being done. Business plans are being finalized for the joint ventures with Fresh Del Monte Produce, Inc., and are being put in place. The DMPL preference shares offering for the second tranche has been launched, and we expect to raise anywhere between $80 million to $160 million. Slide 6, outlook. The group is expected to be profitable for fiscal year 2018 on a recurring basis. Major emphasis on responding to consumer trends will continue as we strengthen the core business, incur additional marketing and trade promotion, and focus on businesses that are on trend, and at the same time rationalize non-profitable ones. We have planned to invest $45 million on trade and consumer activation programs in the U.S. to respond to the consumer trends. We will continue to make structural changes in our supply chain to improve the gross margin. So we will take more restructuring costs in the coming quarters. Moving to slide 7, reflecting on the second quarter group results, sales of $624.7 million is lower by 2%. U.S. sales down by 1.7%, though volume is up 2.8%. Philippines has grown at 4% in local currency, but 3% down in U.S. dollar terms. S&W declined by 8%, mainly driven by supply constraints of fresh business. JV in India has grown at a marginal rate of 0.2% and 4% in U.S. dollar terms. EBITDA of $52.2 million, down 28% from $72.8 million due to planned higher trade promotion and marketing in the U.S. business, an incremental spend of $29.7 million. Operating profit of $31 million, down 44% from $55 million as outlined for EBITDA. Net profit of $10.2 million, down 51% from $20.8 million for the same reason. All of the above profitability numbers are without one-off costs and are versus last year. We have also successfully lowered our inventory in the U.S. and reduced the same by $70 million. Slide 8, one-off expenses. As part of the group's strategy to improve operational excellence, DMFI divested the underperforming Sager Creek vegetable business, on which we incurred $6.5 million for the sale of Sager business and related closure of facility in Siloam Springs, Arkansas. US$14.1 million was incurred for the closure of Plymouth, Indiana tomato production facility. We also incurred additional $3 million for the severance and other costs that will lead to G&A optimization. Moving on to slide 9. We'll take you through the results in a little bit more detail. Second quarter sales at 624.7 was 1.8% lower than last year, mainly due to lower sales in the U.S. This will be explained more in the turnover analysis. Gross profit lower than last year, mainly due to higher plant trade promotions to increase market share in the long run and unfavorable pricing in food service USDA. EBITDA of US$52.2 million and operating profit of US$31 million, lower versus last year by 28% and 44% respectively on a recurring basis. We have incurred close to $30 million in trade and marketing spend to reinvigorate the core categories in line with our long-range plan. We will continue investing in the balance of the year to drive consumption, increase usage, and expand distribution. Our financing cost lower than last year, mainly due to lower level of borrowings. DMPL share in Feed Fresh joint venture in India was favorable, US$0.01 million income from our US$0.4 million loss in the prior year due to improvement in sales and margin. Net income for the quarter on a recurring basis is at $10.2 million, down 51% as explained previously on EBITDA and operating income. Net debt at US$1.9 million, lower by 11%, following repayment of bridge loan amounting to $196 million in April 2017, and also lower inventories lowered by $70 million in the U.S. Gearing ratio at 339%, lower mainly due to lower borrowings. Moving on to slide 10 on the turnover analysis. Americas constitutes 78% of the total group sales, declined at 1.6% mainly due to unfavorable pricing in food service, USDA, and planned higher trade promotion spending. Impact of pricing and trade promotion spending was 4.5%. Overall, volume was higher driven by strong performance of the packaged vegetable and food categories ahead of the holiday season that was partly offset by distribution losses in packaged tomatoes. Investments in consumer advertising and insights are paying dividends as DMFI's market share in canned fruit grew by 800 basis points to 42% in Walmart. DMFI increased its market share during the quarter in a number of key categories in retail, in canned vegetables, canned fruit, and fruit and cups driven by increased trade and consumer investment. Asia Pac sales in the second quarter declined by 3.4% to US$135.4 million from $140.2 million. The Philippine market sales were up 4% in peso terms, but down 3% in US dollar terms. Lower S&W fresh pineapple sales on lower supply were offset by higher S&W packet sales in Asia and Middle East. Europe sales improved by more than 100% to 7.4 million, though on a very small base, mainly on higher volume of pineapple juice concentrate and canned pineapple. Now I'll take you through the first half results on slide 11, starting with the group results summary. Sales of US$1.1 million, lower by 0.4%. US sales is down by 3%, all of which is due to unfavorable pricing in USDA food service and higher trade promotion spend. Philippines has grown at 4.5% in local currency, but declined 2.3% in US dollar terms. S&W in Asia has grown by 25% on the back of a very strong Q1. JV in India slightly declined, but increased 3% in US dollar terms. And partly it was because of the changes in tax laws that impacted more or less all the FMCG players as we transitioned to the new tax laws from July of 2017. EBITDA of US$85.2 million, down 17% from US$103.1 due to planned higher trade promotion and marketing in DNFI, incremental impact or incremental spend of US$27.8 million. Operating profit of US$46.7 million, down 32% from $69 million. Net profit at $11.5 million, down 31% from US$16.6 million. Again, on the back of planned higher trade promotion and marketing spend in the US. All of the above profitability numbers are without one-off costs and versus last year. Slide 12 talks about one-off expenses. Won't really spend much time on it, as most of the one-off costs were incurred in Q2 and have been covered in the previous. Moving on to slide 13, which provides a more detailed review of our first half results. First half sales at 1.1 billion, 0.4% lower than last year, mainly due to lower sales in the U.S., partly offset by strong sales in Philippines and S&W Asia for the first half. We'll cover this in more detail in the turnover analysis. Gross profit at 226.3 million, lower than last year, mainly due to higher trade promotions, which was planned, and unfavorable pricing in USDA food service in the US, and lower pineapple juice concentrate pricing, which has impacted both the Asian business as well as the US business. Impact of unfavorable pricing itself in the first half has been around $20 million. EBITDA of US$85.2 million and operating profit at US$46.7 million, lower versus last year by 17% and 32% respectively on a recurring basis. We have incurred $27.8 million in trade and marketing spend to reinvigorate the core categories in line with our long-range plan. We will continue investing in the balance of the year to drive consumption, increase usage, and expand distribution. Financing cost was lower than last year, mainly due to a lower level of borrowings. Loss from Field Fresh, in which we own 47%, lower than last year, as Field Fresh continues to invest behind the business to grow the Del Monte business, but also continues to now improve the profitability of the business. Net income for the quarter for on a recurring basis at 11.5. Now moving on to the next slide, on slide 14, wrapping it up with the turnover analysis. Americas constitutes 75% of the total group sales, down 0.4% versus prior year period. DMFI generated 0.8 billion or 75% of group sales, lower by 2.6%, largely driven by distribution losses in the tomato category, unfavorable pricing in food service and USDA, and higher trade promotional spending, which was planned. The key retail segments of canned vegetables, canned fruit, and plastic fruit cup all grew sales in the first half despite some category declines. DMFI increased its market share during the first half in a number of key categories in retail, that's canned vegetables, canned fruit, and fruit and cups, driven by increased trade and consumer investment. Asia Pacific sales in the first half increased by 5% to $265 million from $253 million on higher packaged fruit sales. The Philippine market sales were up 4.5% in peso terms. Sales growth was driven by expanded penetration and increased consumption of its packaged pineapple fruit following improvement in supply, coupled with higher sales of culinary products. Food service sales in the Philippines also continued to expand, riding on the rapid expansion of quick service restaurants and convenience stores. The S&W branded sales in Asia and the Middle East grew 25% versus last year on higher sales from both the fresh and packaged segments, as well as expansion into Turkey, a new market for packaged food products. Europe sales improved significantly to $15.2 million from a very small base of 7.8, mainly on higher volume of pineapple juice concentrate and canned pineapple, as pineapple supply has considerably improved in since last year. With that, I would give it to Greg, or before that to Iggy, who will talk about the press shares.
We launched our preference share offering last November 28th, and as Parag said earlier, we hope to raise anywhere between $80 and $160 million, which will allow us to repay some loans through this additional equity. The coupon rate of the preference shares are 6.5% per annum and payable semi-annually. And the preference shares will be listed on the Philippine Stock Exchange in the middle of December. Last April, the DMPL raised $200 million from the first tranche of our offering. And last October 9, we actually paid our first dividend for the first tranche. So with that, we now turn over to Greg Longstreet, CEO of Del Monte Foods, to talk about our U.S. business.
Thank you. On slide 17, there's a summary of some of the activity in the United States markets. Del Monte continues to hold a share leadership position in each of our four core businesses, canned vegetable, canned fruit, plastic fruit cup, and canned tomato. We remain the share leader in these core categories and are seeing growth in three of these four core categories in terms of share. So these results are driven in large part by our increased marketing investments, some of our new compelling work and innovation, and strong execution of fundamentals across retail. And we continue to pursue food service and e-commerce opportunities, which I'll expand on, and continue to reinvest in our brand to bring new users into the category and drive our overall premium share leadership in our value-added branded businesses. On slide 18, we'll take a look at our Q2 results, which Parag highlighted earlier. Overall sales were down 1.6% to $485.6 million, really driven by unfavorable pricing in food service in USDA, coupled with some higher investments in trade spending. Volume was marginally higher during this period. These various changes that we've made in our business model, the divestiture of our underperforming Sager Creek business, the shutdown of our Plymouth, Indiana facility, resulted in a one-time write-off of expenses that contributed to an overall EBITDA loss of $3.9 million and a net loss of 22.1 to the group. Slide 19 highlights our overall strategies as a company. We remain committed to our strategic growth plans for the business. They're rooted in building relevance, continuing to differentiate our brands and our products to drive consumer preference, really reinforcing our points of difference versus private label, emphasizing the Del Monte advantages and our collagen advantages, driving innovation. Innovation is very much going to be our focus for future growth, and we're seeing some great success with some of the new items that were launched in fiscal 18, and I'll expand upon those later. And expanding distribution. We want to get our products into adjacent spaces, into new areas of the grocery store, and into new channels like food service and e-commerce. Lastly, improving efficiency, really working to optimize our cost basis while we're fueling efficient investment in our businesses, and that has to do with realigning our supply chain footprint, right-sizing our overall manufacturing base, and driving efficiencies in our sourcing. Slide 20 highlights briefly some of our marketing investments in our vegetable business, our collagen broth business, and our overall digital investments across our business units. So we are investing significantly this year in fiscal 18 for the first time in several years, and are seeing some positive lifts and results from those investments. Slide 21 talks a little bit about innovation. The launch of our new fruit and chia product, which is a part of our core fruit business. This adult snacking product has done very well. We've exceeded our distribution hurdles, our trial hurdles, and importantly, our sales velocity and our key customers is exceeding expectations for this new fruit and chia business. We've also successfully launched some new products within the broth business under collagen, an organic broth line, as well as a broth concentrate, and are seeing good acceptance. Excuse me? Hello? Okay. On slide 22, we've included some highlights from our food service and e-commerce efforts. On the food service side of the business, we're seeing good success with our fruit cup business within school U.S. school districts, with now over 20 school districts on our Fruit Cup program, and continuing to see growth potential in fiscal 19 and beyond for this platform in food service. Also seeing some growth in our transition in food service collagen business and a new area of focus for us. And then lastly, this past quarter began to do business with Amazon and continue to support our key customer e-commerce efforts like Walmart and Kroger. So with that, I'll transition to Cito Alejandro.
Thank you, Greg. I'll start with slide 23. As you know, Del Monte Philippines is the group's second largest subsidiary, comprising of Philippine sales and exports. Second quarter sales of $134 million was basically impacted by Forex translation in the Philippines. Thus, it's only up by 2% for the same quarter last year. On the same page, you will see our latest addition to the Tetra Pak juice lineup, which is now the only 100% pineapple juice in Tetra Pak format in the Philippines. And the same thing is being expanded under the SMW brand in the Asia-Pacific region, which I'll talk about in a little bit. Slide 24, market shares in the Philippines. We continue to hold leadership positions in our four categories. Solid 86% share in canned pineapple, 78% share in canned mixed fruit, 83% in juices, 86% in tomato-based sauces, and 45% on the spaghetti sauce category, all driven by sustained advertising and promotion support. And given our superior in-store presence and in business in modern trade and convenience stores, comprising 28% of category sales. One key development also is our growing food service business, which now accounts for 18% of our total sales. Chart slide 25 further talks about other highlights of the Philippine market. Sales were up 4% in peso terms, but down 2.9% in US dollar terms. We continue to invest in driving inclusion with Del Monte products in consumers' weekly menu behind our 360-degree campaigns across brands. And food service, as I mentioned earlier, has really expanded behind the quick service restaurants and convenience stores. Slide 26, further updates on the Philippines, just shows to you some of our initiatives in the Del Monte Source category where we are investing on consumption building and frequency of use initiatives in both free TV and digital. Slide 27, here is our latest relaunch of the Del Monte Extra Rich Ketchup that allows us to target the young foodies, and we have had much success early on with this introduction. Slide 28. Del Monte Quick and Easy is a line of mixes to create delicious local and international meals, and it has been by far one of our most successful recruitment tools for new users in the category, especially among millennials and young mothers. The next slide talks about Fit and Right. As you know, we continue to refresh the benefit promise of Fit and Right's weight management. Now we're talking about blocking sugar from the food you eat by virtue of its green coffee extract ingredient. And this has been coupled by a new bottle, a new sexy bottle that features the brand. And this is now all national, and advertising has started with very favorable business feedback. Going now to slide 30, which talks about Asia and the Middle East, led by S&W, with its expanding sales of sweet 16 fresh pineapple. E-commerce and digital are growing with North Asia. In fact, we are now in JD.com in China, and will soon be with Alibaba. The next page talks about S&W too, slide 31. Sales of total S&W fresh were 8% lower due to lower supply of fresh pineapple. However, the package segment continued to grow double digit, mainly due to higher sales of packaged pineapple and juices in North Asia. And we also launched a couple of new products into the markets. The 100% pineapple juice in Tetra Pak in China, a revolutionary clear can for pineapple slices and chunks in China and Korea, clear cans, see-through plastic containers with metal lids, which allow consumers to see the fruits inside, and with the selling line, freshness you can see. And finally, Contadina brand of pasta sauces in Sanha pouches in China. Slide 32 are just some pictures of our in-store initiatives on pineapple juice and clear cans in China. Moving to slide 33, more sampling activations of Contadina this time, and these samplings have been proven successful in generating trial and retrial of the brand. Slide 34 talks about our pineapple juice initiatives in Singapore, targeting key channels, bars and restaurants, schools and institutions, hotels, as well as QSRs. Moving now to Feel Fresh India, slide 35. Feel Fresh broke even on improved sales and margins, and Genpil's share of profit was a point almost 0.01, a turnaround from the loss of 0.4 million in the prior period. We really had a lot of consumer gifting opportunity during the last Diwali festival by the Del Monte packs. In addition to this, in slide 36, you will see our initiative on the World Pasta Month on digital, which highlighted the versatility of pasta, showcasing infinite recipe options that cut through various meal occasions and moods. And finally, on slide 37, are more of the World Pasta Month on digital. With that, that completes that my presentation here. I'll now turn it over to Iggy.
Thank you, Sito. So Del Monte Pacific continues to be recognized for its governance and investor relations in Singapore through different awards and recognition, including our website, our transparency, as well as the Governance and Transparency Index in Singapore, where we are ranked number 16 among over 600 companies that are listed on the Singapore Exchange. On slide 38, sustainability is one of our five strategic pillars, together with improving operational excellence. And in the U.S., Del Monte is a leadership partner of Feeding America. In the Philippines, Del Monte Foundation continues with its work to help local communities. On slide 40, to recap the second quarter highlights, which Parag presented earlier, we divested our underperforming Sager Creek vegetable business and rationalized plants in the U.S. to improve operational excellence. We incurred a $23.6 million one-off expense, and this resulted in a net loss of $2.8 million for the group in the second quarter. Without this non-recurring expense, the group would have generated a net income of $10.2 million. And as planned, the group also made strategic investments in trade spending and marketing to strengthen our core business in the U.S. As you will see in our higher volume that we achieve in the second quarter, as well as higher market shares in three out of four product categories, as explained by Greg earlier. Our Nice Fruit Frozen plant is in operation, and we have done trial shipments to the U.S., Japan, and South Korea. And business plans are being finalized as well for the joint ventures we have with Fresh Del Monte Produce across the refrigerated snack business, chilled juices, avocado and guacamole, and the food and beverage outlets. And finally, we launch our preference share offering, which we will conclude on December 8th, and we hope to raise between $80 to $160 million of equity to repay our loans. And to recap the outlook, we expect to be profitable for FY 2018 on a recurring basis, as we explained earlier, by strengthening the core business, focusing on businesses that are on trend, and rationalizing non-profitable parts of the business through continued innovation as well as execution of our digital strategy. And we will improve our financial performance through G&A cost optimization and multi-year restructuring for operations and supply chain, as you saw in the second quarter, and Parag said this will continue in the balance of year. So with that, we'd like to open the floor to questions. Are there any questions from our conference call participants? Yes, please.
Yes, this is Progia from HSBC. I have two questions. One is, you mentioned the trade promotion spend, and you also mentioned that you expect it to continue for the rest of the year. The question is, do you see this trend continuing next year too? Or is there a point where you believe that the market share will be adequate and hence you might want to focus more on the margins and less on the volumes? And the second question is regarding the Plymouth plant closure, which incurred an expense of $14 million. Now, you do mention that the Sager Creek plant closure is expected to yield about 1% cost margin uplift. do you expect, so what sort of margin uplift could we expect from the Indiana plant closure? If there's any guidance around that, please.
Yeah, sure. So relative to the Plymouth facility, we're expecting annual savings around $5 million a year, annual savings.
Okay.
As for trade, we're investing in trade, and it's part of our strategy to rationalize some brands in the market. We are investing in some capabilities to ensure that we're maximizing the return on trade, and we're looking to our network optimization to go ahead and take costs out of the network to improve our margins.
Right. So are these extra costs or this cost savings, are they related to the cost savings that you had planned earlier in your presentation last year, or these are incremental cost savings that you all are targeting?
So Sager Creek is actually incremental. Plymouth is part of our network optimization plan.
Okay. All right. Thanks. Thanks for
Hi, Elfie from DBS. Just want to check with you on the cost savings of the Sager Creek and rationalization. When do you expect the benefits to kick in? And going forward, will there be further costs from Sager Creek?
So to answer your question, yes, there will be additional costs as we really focus on liquidating our inventories. We expect the inventories to be completely sold by the first half of FY19. So we will also have inventories that we will be selling next year. So we expect to see the full savings from the divestiture kicking in from the second half of FY19. Let me know if that answers your question.
Yeah. Okay. How much is this additional cost?
We are still working through the estimates, but I would expect the cost to be a little bit higher than $10 million that we would incur in addressing all the pending issues on liquidating the stocks, etc.
Okay. And what's your EBITDA guidance for this year?
We have refrained from giving very specific guidance in the past from a group perspective. But we, as we mentioned in the outlook, we would definitely be having a net income and a positive result from a recurring on a recurring basis. We would be taking more restructuring costs if more opportunities arise on plant rationalization and they get board approval. One thing I would add is that from an EBITDA perspective, we would be lower than last year because we also continue to invest in consumer and trade activation programs in the U.S., the impact of which is roughly around $45 million on an annualized basis.
Okay. Okay, the EBITDA earnings, you mean? It's not EBITDA margins. Just want to clarify.
Yes, EBITDA earnings.
Okay. Okay, that's all I have for now.
How do I ask a question?
Go ahead, please.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, this is Christopher Langner from Red Intelligence. I just wanted to ask you two things. One is, what is the plan to repay the acquisition loan, the $1.2 billion that you guys have that's due in January 2019? Given that EBITDA is dwindling and you don't have, like, any major bullet source of funding coming up, as far as I understand. And the other thing is, are you looking at hiring restructuring advisors? Are you considering a debt restructuring of that big loan?
Just to be clear, the loans are not maturing in 2019.
That's just
the ABL. The two acquisition financing loans that you talked about would be 2021-22.
And how about in terms of the ABL usage, I would still like to know what the plan is to pay that in 2021, because again, it's a very big chunk of money, and I know that you guys have talked about spinning off
we are continually, obviously, looking at improving our capital structure, and we have talked about the second tranche of pref shares that we are issuing right now, which is also going towards the repayment of bridge loan that we had taken in Philippines. So we will continually address the capital structure through a number of initiatives in the coming future.
But you guys also, I'm sorry for the background noise. You guys also have the usage of the ABL. If it reaches 90%, then you have to meet certain covenants. I believe in the last report you said that if those covenants were to be met, if the incurrence were to be tested, the MPL would be in breach of those covenants. Is that correct?
No, that's not our understanding. Yeah, and just to be clear, our ABL balance at the end of October was around $250 million, and we expect it to continually go down. By the end of the year, we are expecting it to be less than $50 million, or we are gunning for even making it close to zero.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, and sorry for the trouble.
No problem.
Are there any other questions?
Yeah, just a follow-up question on your investment in investment and marketing expenses in the U.S. So it looks like your margins has come down, and you're investing more on your products in the U.S. So with regard to this investment plan, when can we see roughly margins improving?
We expect margins will improve in fiscal 19, 20, and 21. We are investing to promote our new products. We're investing to gain new distribution, and we're investing to support our brands. And that's where we will become margin accretive and see margin growth as we rationalize the business.
So some impact will be seen in 19, but really the full year impact will start coming through in 2020.
Yes.
Okay, that's clear. Thanks. Yeah, and for Sager Creek, once it's off your books, in terms of the factories, will we see a jump in the margins?
There will be some improvement in the margin. Yes.
Okay, and that's from FY19 onwards, right?
Second half
19.
Yes.
Okay, sure. Thanks. Okay, that's all I have. Thank you.
Are there any other questions?
So sorry, if I may, could I ask another question? This is Chris Langner again. You guys just replaced the BDO loan for the preference shares, right, the perpetual bonds. The perpetual bonds have a much higher interest expense than the BDO loans. We probably didn't see the impact of that because you only paid one dividend so far and only part of it. But how much more is that going to impact your working capital, and how are you guys going to fund this potential increase, sorry, not working capital, but this potential increase in interest expenses? Is that going to eat into EBITDA further?
First of all, let me clarify, this is not a bond. These are dividends on pref shares.
Yeah.
So,
but they are mandatory dividends, right? You don't have the ability to for these dividends, do you?
The dividends are not mandatory. For the preference shares, they can be deferred depending on board approval. But any dividends that are deferred are cumulative in nature. These are preference shares, which we will account for as equity. So it's not a bond. And the cost of the dividend at 6.5% is higher than the cost of our debt today by only about 150 basis points. Because our acquisition loan is costing us close to 5% today with BDO.
Thank you very much.
Okay, and post fundraising from the preference shares, what's the timeline for you to pay down and retire your debt roughly?
Well, the funds that we will raise from the second tranche of this preference share offering will be applied immediately to the repayment of the balance of the BDO loan. So we hope to raise anywhere between $80 to $160 million, Alfie. We have a balance of $154 with BDO. But that loan actually does not mature until February 2019. So this will just accelerate repayment of that loan to the extent of how much we can raise at the end of this offering, which concludes this Friday.
Okay. So it can be as soon as before year end, you will resolve the repay the loan using
Yes. That's right. Yes, that this is the loan that we have in Asia through DMPL, yes, with BDO.
Yep, okay, thank you.
Are there any other questions? If there are none, we'd like to conclude our conference call and thank all of you for joining us. Thank you.
Thank you.
The leader has disconnected. The conference will be terminated in 5 minutes.